Welcome to another deep dive. Today, we're going to be looking at something that you probably don't think about a lot, but it's actually like surprisingly complex and super important to how a ton of like everyday products are made, mold cooling systems.
Interesting.
Yeah, so we're diving into like a technical article that really breaks down like the best practices, but also like the biggest mistakes when it comes to designing these systems. And hopefully by the end, you'll be able to like spot a well-designed product just by looking at it.
Well, that's a great goal. I think what's so fascinating about mold cooling is that it's kind of this like hidden world, right?
Yeah.
That impacts the quality and even the existence of so many things that we use every single day.
Right.
From like the simple plastic bottle caps to like those really sleek new electronics.
Yeah. I'll admit, like when I first heard we were doing this topic, I was picturing like basic ice cube trays.
Right.
But then I started reading about how these cooling channels, which are basically like pathways for cool water, are like strategically designed within the mold itself. It's like a whole like intricate plumbing system.
It really is.
Yeah.
And if those channels aren't designed perfectly, like you can end up with all sorts of problems.
Yeah.
You know, warped products, weak spots, or even a whole batch of like rejects. The article actually mentioned a project where even a small variation in the cooling process led to like a mountain of unusable bottle caps.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all because of like one tiny design flaw.
Wow. So yeah, I mean, getting the design right is obviously critical.
It is.
So how about we kind of break down the different types of cooling channel layouts?
Okay.
The article talked about, I think it mentioned four main categories, right?
Yes, there are four main categories.
Okay.
We have straight through, circular partitioned, and inlaid layouts.
Yeah.
And each one is kind of best suited for a specific type of product, you know,
okay,
based on its complexity and shape.
Mm.
So for simple things like those bottle caps we talked about, like a basic circular layout,
okay,
with you know, the water kind of flowing in a ring, works perfectly fine.
Yeah.
But if you're making something that's flat and long, like a sheet of plastic, then a linear layout with channels running lengthwise is way more efficient.
Okay, so it's all about matching that layout to the product's geometry.
Absolutely.
Now, what about like those more complex layouts? I know the article mentions some pretty creative ones like snake and spiral layouts.
Yeah.
What are those all about?
Yeah, so those are definitely designed for more intricate products. The snake layout, for example, it kind of winds around the mold cavity, right?
Okay.
Ensuring even cooling for products that have unusual shapes. It's like, well, snake weaving through the mold. And then you've got the spiral layout, which is ideal for cylindrical shapes like gears or pipes. And that creates a continuous cooling path from the center outward.
Wow. So it's amazing to think that something as seemingly simple as like a water channel can have such a dramatic impact on a product's like final form.
It is.
It really makes you appreciate the level of thought and engineering that goes into, you know, these designs.
Absolutely. And as products become more and more complex, these layouts are kind of constantly evolving. There's a whole world of, you know, advanced cooling techniques that are being developed to kind of push the boundaries of what's possible.
So, like, let's dive into those advanced technologies and
right.
See how they're kind of like revamping those traditional layouts that you talked about. The article mentioned something called localized cooling inserts.
Yes.
What are those?
So localized cooling inserts, think of those as like mini targeted cooling zones.
Okay.
That you can place in really specific areas of the mold. So imagine them as like tiny little ice packs embedded within the mold, specifically tackling, you know, hard to reach areas or intricate details where traditional channels just might not be enough.
So like if traditional channels are kind of like using a sprinkler to water your lawn,
right?
Localized cooling inserts are more like having a tiny, like precise watering can for like your prize winning roses.
Exactly.
Much more targeted.
Exactly. Hmm. And then we've got partitioned layouts, which are particularly clever for products with varying wall thicknesses.
Hmm.
So imagine a product that has both thick and thin sections.
Okay.
Right. The thicker parts are going to hold heat for longer, you know.
Right.
And they need more cooling than those thin parts.
Mm-hmm.
So partitioned layouts, they tackle this by dividing the cooling channels, you know, based on those varying thicknesses.
So it's like having custom design cooling zones for each part of the product.
Exactly.
And that prevents warping and deformation by making sure that everything cools down at just the right pace.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And to achieve this level of precision, computer simulations and CAD software play a huge role nowadays. So designers can create like virtual models and simulate the cooling process before they even make the physical mold.
Wow, so they can like essentially predict the future of the mold.
Exactly.
And make adjustments before like any actual manufacturing takes place. I'd imagine that saves a ton of time, money, and headaches down the line.
Absolutely. It's like having a blueprint for success built right into the design process.
Right.
And that's really just the beginning. As technology continues to advance, we're seeing even more incredible innovations emerging in this world of mold cooling.
So like what other exciting developments should we be looking out for?
Well, one area that holds a lot of promise is the use of 3D printing mm-hmm. to create molds with these incredibly complex cooling channel designs.
Mm.
This could revolutionize the field, allowing for intricate lattices and networks of channels that just conform perfectly to the shape of the product.
Wow. So it sounds like 3D printing could take those intricate layouts we talked about, like to a whole other level.
Exactly.
Imagine the possibilities. But I'm also wondering, with all these advancements, are there still common mistakes that designers make when it comes to these cooling channels?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Even with all the technology at our fingertips, there are still pitfalls,
Right.
That can trip up even experienced designers.
Yeah.
These are like the insider tips that you kind of learn from years of experience or from a deep dive like this.
Well, in that case, let's delve into those common mistakes.
Okay.
What's the first one that comes to mind?
Well, one of the most common and potentially disastrous mistakes is neglecting flow distribution.
Okay.
If that cooling water doesn't flow evenly through all the channels, you get what we call hot spots, where certain areas cool down much slower than others. And as we've discussed, that can lead to all sorts of product defects.
So it's like having like a clogged pipe in your plumbing system.
Exactly.
The water can't flow freely and you end up with like a mess. And in this case, the mess is a warped or defective product.
Exactly.
Got it. What else?
Another common pitfall is ignoring mold geometry.
Okay.
So you can't just simply use the same cooling channel layout for every single mold.
Yeah.
You have to consider, the shape, the complexity of the product you're making.
So using straight channels for like a complex mold with like lots of curves and angles would be a recipe for disaster.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The cooling just wouldn't reach all the little nooks and trannies.
Right.
And you'd end up with parts that are, warped or haven't solidified properly.
Okay. So flow distribution, mold geometry, got it. What else should designers be mindful of?
Well, channel sizing is another crucial aspect.
Okay.
If the channels are too small, they can get blocked or just simply not provide enough cooling power. But if they're too large, they can weaken the overall structure of the mold.
It's that Goldilocks scenario again.
Exactly.
Not too big, not too small, but just right.
Exactly.
Any other common oversights?
One that often gets overlooked is maintenance access. You need to be able to easily clean and inspect those cooling channels.
Yeah.
To prevent blockages and ensure they're functioning properly.
That makes perfect sense. It's like designing a building with no access panels for maintenance.
Exactly.
Eventually, something's going to break down and you're going to have a major headache trying to fix it.
Precisely. And speaking of headaches, another common mistake is not using cooling inserts when they're actually needed. Sometimes traditional channels just can't provide that level of targeted cooling that's required for specific areas of a mold, especially in complex designs with like high heat concentrations.
So it's like trying to extinguish a fire with like a garden hose when what you really need is like a fire truck with like a high pressure nozzle.
Exactly.
Like sometimes you need that extra power and precision.
Exactly. And finally, one of the most subtle but potentially costly mistakes is underestimating temperature control requirements.
Mm.
Different materials and products have different cooling needs, and you just can't assume that, a one-size-fits-all approach is going to work.
That makes sense, especially like when you're dealing with like precision products like electronics, where like even a slight temperature variation can like impact functionality.
Exactly.
We really need to like tailor the cooling process to the specific needs of the material and the product.
Absolutely. And that's why understanding these common mistakes is so important. It's not just about avoiding those blunders. It's also about appreciating the level of detail and precision that goes into creating a truly effective cooling system.
It's incredible how much thought and engineering goes into something as seemingly simple as like cooling down a mold.
It is.
It really underscores the like hidden complexity behind so many of the products that we use every day.
It really does. And as we move into part two of this deep dive, we're going to explore how these advancements are not only changing the face of manufacturing, but also impacting things like sustainability and product quality. So stay tuned. You know, as we kind of delve deeper into this world of mold cooling, it's becoming clear that it's not just about like these intricate layouts and avoiding those design pitfalls.
Yeah, it feels like we're like uncovering a whole hidden ecosystem.
Right.
That affects like everything from the quality of the products to how efficiently they're made and even like their environmental impact.
Absolutely. Like right. When you think about the bigger picture, a well-designed cooling system can actually reduce energy consumption and waste, which is a huge win for a manufacturer
right.
and the environment.
So it's not just about like making a product that works. It's about making it in a way that's sustainable, too.
Exactly.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. By optimizing that cooling process, you can use less energy to get the same results.
Yeah.
Which leads to lower operating costs, but also a smaller carbon footprint. It's like, you know, getting more bang for your buck, but also being kinder to the planet.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And on the product quality side, like effective cooling plays a huge role in creating products that are like durable, reliable, and, you know, live up to customer expectations.
Right. Think about it. A product that's warped or like structurally weak because of improper cooling is more likely to break down or like fail sooner.
Right. Which leads to unhappy customers, product returns, and ultimately more waste.
Exactly.
It's like a chain reaction that can be avoided with a smarter approach to cooling.
It is. And the article actually highlighted this with a case study where a company was able to significantly reduce their product defects and returns just by implementing a more sophisticated cooling system.
So they not only like made their customers happier, but also reduced their environmental impact by, you know, sending less waste to landfills. That's a pretty powerful example of how like these seemingly small design choices can have like ripple effects.
They really can. It really highlights how, you know, sustainability isn't just about using recycled materials or cutting down on packaging. It's also about, you know, designing products that are built to last.
Right.
And manufactured responsibly.
And that's where like these mold cooling systems come in. They're like the unsung heroes, ensuring that like the products we use every day are made to, you know, the highest standards without us even realizing it.
Exactly. And it's not just about sustainability either, right?
Yeah.
Remember, you know, those advanced cooling technologies we talked about.
Yeah.
Like those localized cooling inserts and partition layouts. Well, those are also playing a key role in kind of pushing the boundaries of product design and performance.
Right. With localized cooling, you can like target very specific areas of a mold with like incredible accuracy.
Oh.
It's like having like a tiny little air conditioner for each part of the product, ensuring that everything cools down like perfectly.
It is. And then partitioning is all about, you know, tailoring that cooling process to the unique geometry of the product. By dividing those cooling channels based on wall thickness, you can make sure that each section cools down at that optimal rate, preventing, you know, warping and distortion.
Our article mentioned a great example of how partitioned layouts are being used to improve the quality of electronic device shells.
Yeah, by, you know, strategically placing those cooling channels around critical components, they can ensure that those really sensitive areas stay within a very specific temperature range during the cooling process, which is super crucial for electronics performance.
It's amazing how much precision goes into something that most people like never even think about.
Right.
And what's really fascinating is like how these advanced technologies are being like combined with cutting edge software and simulations.
Absolutely. It's like having a dream team of designers and engineers, you know, working together to create that like ultimate cooling system. So designers can use CAD software to build those, you know, virtual models in the mold and the cooling channels and then run simulations.
Right.
To see exactly how that cooling process is going to play out in real time.
It's like having a crystal ball.
It is.
That lets you like peek into the future of the mold and make any necessary adjustments before you even start the physical manufacturing process.
Exactly. And that's a total game changer.
Yeah.
It allows manufacturers to kind of move from like a reactive approach to a proactive one. where they can anticipate and address potential problems before they even arise.
The article mentioned a study where they used like these advanced simulations to optimize the mold design and cooling process for like a complex automotive part.
Yes.
And the results were pretty impressive, weren't they?
They were. They managed to reduce cooling time by 20%, which not only boosted production efficiency, but also lowered overall costs. It's a real testament to the power of these advanced technologies and how they're shaping the future of manufacturing.
It's incredible to see how like technology is constantly like pushing the boundaries of what's possible. And speaking of pushing boundaries, the article also touched on the potential impact of 3D printing on mold cooling in the future.
Ah, yes. 3D printing.
Yeah.
That's where things get really exciting. Imagine being able to create molds with like incredibly complex cooling channel designs that would be impossible to manufacture using, you know, traditional methods.
It's like opening up like a whole new world of possibilities.
Exactly.
Instead of being limited by like traditional manufacturing techniques, you could create like intricate lattices and networks of cooling channels that like perfectly match the shape of the product.
Absolutely. It's like weaving a cooling system into the very fabric of a mold itself. That level of precision and customization could lead to even more efficient and effective cooling, resulting in higher quality products, but also faster production times.
Yeah, it's mind-blowing to think about how like 3D printing could revolutionize mold cooling. And it makes you wonder like what other breakthroughs are just around the corner.
It's definitely an exciting time to be following the world of manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
And I, for one, can't wait to see what innovations come next.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, let's kind of shift gears a bit and talk about the human element of all this. We've talked about, you know, technology and design, but what about like the people behind these systems?
Yeah, that's a great point. We've been so focused on like the technical aspects that we haven't really like considered the role of the engineers and designers who are creating these incredible systems.
Right.
What are some of the like challenges that they face?
Well, one of the biggest challenges is you know, staying ahead of the curve. The field of mold cooling is constantly evolving with new technologies and techniques you know, emerging all the time.
Right.
So designers really need to be lifelong learners, always seeking out you know, new knowledge and pushing the boundaries of what's possible.
It's like they're on like a never-ending quest for the perfect cooling system.
Exactly.
Always striving for like better efficiency, better quality, more sustainable solutions.
Absolutely. And another challenge is the need for you know, collaboration. Mold cooling isn't a solo endeavor.
Right.
It requires you know, close collaboration between designers, engineers, and those manufacturing teams.
Right.
To make sure that everything's working together seamlessly.
It's like an intricate dance where, like, everyone needs to be in sync to achieve the desired outcome.
Exactly.
And with so many, like, moving parts, it must require a lot of, like, communication and coordination.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then there's the challenge of kind of finding that sweet spot between innovation and practicality.
Right.
You can have the most like cutting edge cooling design in the world.
Yeah.
But if it's like too expensive or complex to manufacture, it's not going to be very useful.
So it's about like finding that balance like between pushing the boundaries of what's possible while also keeping things like grounded in the realities of manufacturing.
Exactly.
That must be like a delicate balancing act.
It is. And it requires a deep understanding of both like the technical and the business aspects of mold cooling. But when it's done right, the results can be, you know, truly remarkable.
I'm starting to see that mold cooling is like much more than just a technical field. It's a blend of like science, art, and human ingenuity.
Mm.
It's about like finding creative solutions to complex problems and constantly like pushing the limits of what's possible.
Well said. And as we move into the final part of our deep dive, we'll explore some of the broader implications of mold cooling and what the future holds for this fascinating field. So stay tuned.
You know, it's amazing how much we've like uncovered about mold cooling systems in this deep dive. It's like we've peeled back the layers of like everyday products to reveal this like intricate hidden world.
Really is. It's kind of a testament to how much we often take for granted.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, who would have thought that something as like seemingly mundane as cooling plastic could be so complex and fascinating?
Right. Like, it's like we're seeing the world with new eyes now. Like, every time I pick up a plastic bottle or use my phone, I'll be thinking about, like, those cleverly designed cooling channels working their magic behind the scenes.
It really makes you appreciate the ingenuity and expertise of the people who design and create these systems. You know,
Right.
it's a reminder that there's so much innovation happening all around us,
Yeah.
even in the most like unexpected places.
I'm also struck by like how mold cooling connects to like so many bigger issues like sustainability and the future of manufacturing. We've talked about how optimized cooling can like reduce energy consumption and waste, but what about the like long-term implications? Like how do you see this field kind of evolving in the years to come?
That's a great question, and it's one that's definitely on the minds of a lot of experts in the field. I think we're going to continue to see a push towards even greater precision and efficiency, you know,
Right.
as manufacturers strive to create those like higher quality products while also, you know, minimizing their environmental impact.
So those like advanced technologies that we discussed, like localized cooling inserts and 3D printed molds, those will likely become even more prevalent.
Oh, absolutely. I
Yeah.
think we'll see those technologies becoming even more sophisticated and accessible, you know, allowing even smaller companies to kind of benefit
Yeah.
from their capabilities. And we might even see like entirely new cooling methods emerge,
Right.
you know, things we haven't even imagined yet.
It's exciting to think about like the possibilities. What about like the role of AI and machine learning? Do you see those playing a bigger part in mold cooling in the future?
I definitely do. AI and machine learning, have the potential to like revolutionize the way we design and optimize cooling systems. Imagine like algorithms that can analyze those complex product geometries and automatically generate, the most efficient cooling channel layouts.
Oh, that would be incredible. It would like free up designers to focus on like the more creative aspects and potentially lead to like even faster turnaround times and better performance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And AI could also play a role in like monitoring and maintaining those cooling systems, you know, identifying potential problems before they occur
Right.
and ensuring optimal performance over time.
It sounds like we're like on the cusp of like a major transformation in the field. And as these advancements continue to unfold, what do you think like the impact will be on the products we use every day.
I think we'll see a shift towards products that are not only, you know, more functional and durable, but also more sustainable and environmentally friendly. As cooling technology improves, manufacturers will be able to use, you know, less energy and materials
Right.
while still creating those high quality products.
That's a win-win for everyone.
Absolutely.
And it makes me like optimistic about the future of manufacturing. You know, it's not just about churning out more stuff, it's about creating things that are, you know, better for both people and the planet.
I agree. There's a growing awareness that we need to be more mindful of our impact on the environment. And that's really driving innovation across, you know, all industries, including manufacturing.
This deep dive has given me a whole new perspective on the things that I use every single day. It's like I'm seeing the world with like X-ray vision now, noticing those like hidden complexities and the incredible amount of thought that goes into creating even the simplest
It's
objects.
amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the beauty of knowledge. It expands our understanding and makes us more appreciative of the world around us. Even something as, you know, seemingly mundane as a plastic bottle cap can become like a source of wonder and inspiration when you really understand the science and engineering behind it.
So speaking of wonder and inspiration, what's one key takeaway you'd like our listener to kind of walk away with from this deep dive?
If I had to choose just one, it would be this. Don't underestimate the power of, you know, seemingly small things. Like those intricate cooling channels hidden within a mold. They can have a profound impact on the quality, the sustainability, and even, you know, the very existence of the products we rely on every day.
So the next time you like pick up a plastic product, take a moment to appreciate like the unseen forces that shaped it and consider like the ripple effects of those design choices on the world around us.
It's a reminder that even the smallest details can matter. And that innovation can really be found in the most unexpected places.
And that's a wrap on our deep dive into the fascinating world of mold cooling systems. We hope you've enjoyed this journey as much as we have.
And as always, we encourage you to keep those minds curious and those questions flowing. Until next time.